And in the midst of all that, if you read Luke's account of this same thing, it said that power went out from him and healed them all. It was like ground zero, and Jesus was the critical mass. And as people came in faith, reaching out in faith to touch him, power went out from him into them and healed them all. It was like a spiritual atomic bomb going off. And it was glorious. You can imagine the excitement, the joy, the thrill as people who had almost given up hope, who were suffering and destitute and had consigned themselves to pain and agony for the rest of their lives, suddenly came up and power went out from Jesus and began to heal them. People who could not walk, maybe who had never walked, suddenly received strength in their legs and began to move and stand up and walk about and run and leap. People who were blind, who could no longer see the sun or the trees or the sky or the precious face of their loved ones, suddenly the light began to burn in their eyes. And with painful glory, as they opened their eyes, suddenly they could see again. Can you imagine what that was like? People who could not hear, suddenly they feel that vibration in their ears and their head, and all of a sudden, sound comes, the beautiful, glorious sound of thousands of people beside themselves with excitement because of what God was doing through Jesus. The lepers who had come, who were unclean, who had to be shunned and outcast from society, their skin all eaten up with leprosy, suddenly as they're coming near the place, that power of God bathes them, and all of a sudden their skin becomes clean, and their eyes just flood with tears, and their heart melts with joy, and they fall on their knees and just cry out in glory to God, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." It was a glorious, beautiful, noisy, rambunctious chaos filled with the beauty of God. Crooked spines being made straight. People who could not find a comfortable position, no matter what they did, who lived in daily pain, day, after night, after night, suddenly they felt that power of God moving in their spine and their body beginning to twist and come up and no longer be crooked. Arthritic pain disappears. Their joints that were all deformed and mangled and twisted, suddenly their fingers, as the power of God comes on them, they feel that working inside. And what's going on is suddenly they have range of motion again. Suddenly they have strength. They have a grip. Suddenly the pain just disappears. Pain vaporizes. People who had been crawling there in agony, maybe being brought on stretchers or on carts that were rolled into the place, suddenly that pain just vaporizes. And they felt what they hadn't felt in years, nothing. Not only that, as if that was not enough, multitudes were being delivered from demonic oppression. That torment, that darkness, that perpetual nighttime, that anxiety and fear and dysfunction. As they would come close to Jesus, suddenly they would fall down and cry out. And Jesus would rebuke the spirit and would leave them. And suddenly they were in their right mind. Can you imagine how that would melt your heart with joy? How your heart would just break. I can imagine people were sobbing from the depths of their soul, screaming and crying out, running around, dancing, leaping for joy, staring with their jaws hanging open in disbelief. Thank you, brother. Looking around for a drink of water because they'd shouted themselves hoarse, praising God for the glorious things He had done. Parents bringing their children, their little boys, their little girls, maybe Zach and Aaron's age, who had experienced hardship that no child should ever have to experience. Bringing their children with birth defects, crippled from birth, blind from birth, children with terminal illnesses. And they knew that day was coming, and they said, we've got to get to Jesus. We've got to get to Galilee, because I don't know how much longer my little boy has, how much longer my little girl has, and I don't know if this guy can do anything, but if I have to travel over land and sea, over mountains and rivers, I'm going, because this, it's my little girl, it's my little boy. I got to save their life. And they're coming close, and they're getting close to the house, and they see the crowd, they hear the noise, and everything is going on. And some of them, they hadn't even gotten there yet. And suddenly the glory of God overshadows them. And their little boy or their little girl suddenly comes up healed. Suddenly becomes whole again. Suddenly that disease leaves them. Maybe they get to Jesus, and Jesus picks that little one up in his arms and holds him close to his chest. And as that anointing from God envelops that child, suddenly they come to life again. They have strength and motion and wholeness again. Can you imagine what a parent would do in that situation? They were looking at the death of their kid, and suddenly everything is different. I could forgive them if they weren't a little composed. I could forgive them if they were just a little bit exuberant. I could even forgive them if they started screaming at the top of their lungs for joy. Revival was breaking out. People were saying, man, is this the Son of David? Is this the Savior? Is this the Messiah? If He's not it, I don't know who is. Folks were coming to Christ, and God was doing great and mighty things. And at the end of the day, Jesus withdraws Himself to a mountain, goes off to be alone, I guess to catch His breath. And the Bible says He prayed all night long. All night long. The next day, He selects 12 apostles, calls them up onto the mountain, and commissions them. Then they come back down. They go into somebody's house, and it starts all over again. Here comes the crowds. Man, revival's breaking out again. Multitudes surround the place. God starts moving. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Is that not glorious? But not everybody saw it as the hand of God. Not everybody saw it as the hand of God. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again, a crowd gathered, so that He and His disciples were not even able to eat. And when His family heard about this, they went to take charge of Him, for they said, He is out of His mind. Verse 22. And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, He's driving out demons. So you have God moving in a profound, powerful way with miracles, signs, and wonders, doing amazing things. The entire country has come out to see this as God destroys the kingdom of darkness, multitudes being saved and delivered and healed. And in the process, you basically see three reactions. Some people say He is crazy. Some people say He's evil. And some people say He's the real deal. Some said He's crazy, some said He's evil, some said He's the real deal. That basically are the three basic reactions to revival. When God starts moving in His church in powerful ways, whether through Jesus Christ there in the New Testament, or even through the history of the church in the book of Acts, or the basic, you know, history of revival in the church, when God starts moving in revival in a powerful way through His church, there's basically three reactions. Some folks say, man, you all are crazy. Some folks say, you all are evil. And some folks say, praise God, You are the real deal. I've been looking for this. So let's skip. Actually, I want to break these down, but let me skip the first one if I can. Is that okay? Good, because if you said no, I don't know what I'd do. I got my notes all organized and stuff. Let me skip the first one and start with the second one. Some folks will say, this is evil. This is satanic. This is from the pit of hell. Now, when the scribes and the Pharisees said that in this particular passage, if you look at Luke's account of the same thing, you find out that right before they made this accusation that this is Beelzebub, what happened was Jesus cast a demon out of a man who was blind and mute. He could not see or speak. And Jesus cast this demon out of him, and suddenly the man was able to see and speak. And people began to say, whoa! It says they were amazed and said, is this the Son of David? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Savior? I can't believe it. Here he is in the flesh. I'm looking right at him face to face. And of course, the religious leaders would have none of that. Whoa, I thought it was bad before. You start talking Messiah, man, we got to clamp this thing down. And so somebody had the bright idea. He's casting out devils by Satan himself. He's eaten up with demon possession. The man is from the pit of hell. Brilliant. I guess they had to say something. Look at Jesus' response, Mark chapter 3, verse 22. So he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. I love that. Satan has risen up against himself. I'm rebellion against... Oh, what was that commercial they had? This just occurred to me. That rebellion... I mean, that commercial, somebody was saying, this is my way of sticking it to the man. And his assistant says, but you are the man. He's like, well, okay, but I'm sticking with it anyway. I love that commercial. Anyway, edit that, please. Anyway, Jesus said...